He now said at the end, therefore, verse 48, therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You are not to be perfect as the world expects you to be. Do you get my point? Your perfection is not dictated by the standards of the world. Once Piers Morgan was interviewing Joel Osteen, and he asked Joel Osteen that, what do you think about homosexuality? Joel Osteen said, well, I don't know. The Bible says it is wrong, so it must be wrong. And I was really impressed. Because in America, most of the Europe today is about political correctness. Most of the things you hear people say, they don't believe them. Those are just the things that they have to say in the open. So anyway, Piers Morgan turned to him and said, what gives you the right to judge? Who made you a judge? Of course, that's what the world was saying. The world expects that being a good Christian, you shouldn't judge anybody. The current Pope made a statement once. I tried to understand what he was trying to say by it. Till now, I haven't understood it. Okay? But they hailed him and said yes, because he made a statement. Number one, he used the word gay. He was the first Pope ever to use the word gay. And it's a word I don't use. I try to use the word homosexual. Let's call a spade. And then he made a statement and said that if a gay man wants to serve God, who am I to judge? And the whole press, they were excited. This is a progressive Pope. God doesn't come into your life with his presence because you are popular with men. In fact, he said he will come if people persecute you for his sake. That is, God is closer to you when you are suffering because you are holding on to righteousness. And people are saying you are a bad person. So we're talking about be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. We're not talking about be perfect as the world sees it. If you get to your office and you're a troublemaker because you are the reason why they can't chop money, it's a good kind of persecution. Are you getting my point? So Jesus said here, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. I just want to bring out that issue here. That the issue is about the Heavenly Father's perspective. The Heavenly Father is the reference. If the Heavenly Father says something is wrong, it is wrong. Again, I'm not sitting on that. What I want to bring out here is the issue of perfect. I was explaining that Christians, you know, sometimes you didn't know you had to say these things. But you actually have to. I was talking about sin earlier. That sin... Now, we understand, it's not about who's going to hell or who's not going to hell. It's about who God will dwell in his life or whose life he will be found absent. When he's talking here about perfection, let me say something to you. We, Christians, are the standards of righteousness for the world. We are supposed to be, let me put it like that. Any Christian, you know, people like to pray. They like to fast. They like to cast. Everybody knows how to reject something and cast something away. I told the story of that thing that Kenneth Hagin said to bring out something. And let me just say it to you, especially those of you who are listening to me. God is not as nice as people try to make him appear to be. He's a just and strict Father. He's kind. He's merciful. But he does not continually overlook iniquity. Let me put it like this. If you're a businessman as a Christian and you're always lying, God will kill your business. Not the devil. I think that, let me just say it like that. No point trying to be, let's just say it like they say, oha. Drop the thing. Christians that lie, God does not dwell in their hearts. A lot of problems that Christians have, that's where it comes from. They are dishonest people. They are dishonest people. And if they are dishonest people, I'm saying to you, the miracles they are looking for will not come. Why? Because God is going to walk away out of their homes. You cannot resist the devil that you invited by disobedience. You hear what I said? You cannot resist the devil that you use your disobedience to the known word of God to invite into your life. You can't. He said, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect.
I was saying something to you earlier. Just remember this. I need to emphasize it. If you are talking, if those words can't come forth from the mouth of God, he walks out. That is, if you are uttering words, and God says, I will never say this, that is the point in which he walks out. And that's what I want to emphasize to Christians. We cannot bring heaven down to the earth except God can dwell in our lives. You know, you just have to say it simply. But, like I said, I didn't have to tell Christians this. But I'm explaining these things to help Christians understand how God deals with them. Sometimes telling the truth will cost you. God says, let it cost you, because once you are telling the truth, I walk into your heart and I sit down there. Do you know it's possible for God to be out of people's lives? You know that? And I can prove it. Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Did you hear that? Jesus came to his house and he's knocking. What does that tell you? Somebody pushed him out and locked the door. Because he has come into the lives of Christians and is at the door and he's knocking. I say, if anybody will open to me, what does that tell you? And he wasn't writing to unbelievers. When I was a little Christian, those days, we used to use it to preach. As we come to your room on campus, we go from room to room evangelism. We knock on your door, we tell you that Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. Later on, somebody pointed it out that those letters were written to churches. They were written to churches. You know, in today's Christianity, well, of course, as I explained earlier, a lot of things people call Christianity is not Christianity. It's just churchianity. Yeah, a lot of people go to church. So we don't even know who's a Christian. And I'm preaching this season to let people understand that Christianity is not a joke. We have to take Christianity as a serious business. That is what it is. God wants to dwell in our bodies. You understand? So that anything your eyes are looking, gazing at, focusing on, the way your eye is focusing, you are saying, God, look through my eyes. I like one thing John G. Lake said once. He said, we don't look with our eyes. We look through. So God is inside you. You are telling him, you focus on something. You say, God, look at that. When you're uttering words, God says, this must be words that will come out of the body that I occupy. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. And without us fulfilling these things, we cannot bring heaven down to the earth. That's what I'm trying to emphasize. We read from that Galatians chapter 5. He said, those who do these things don't inherit the kingdom of God. Including things like outbursts of anger. You know, he put it like that. Many of the things that people will never confess as sin. They never thought it was going to carry them to hellfire. You know that. That's why I told you that this issue of hellfire, who's going to hellfire, is a problem. Christians, because they end up, to them that, I got angry. Why would God send me to hellfire? So they keep on getting angry. They don't think they have to settle down, do you understand? And work on that thing with the word of God and with prayer. They don't think about it. Why? It doesn't cross their mind that God will send somebody to hellfire because of it. But I'm saying to you, that is the reason why God cannot do inside that business. Many people's Christians, let me tell you something, economy cannot ruin your business. Let me say it to you again. If a believer, the Bible says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. He did not say whoever. Did you notice that? In 1 John chapter 5, he did not say whoever. What did he say? Say it again. Whatever. That includes whoever. Because a whoever is a whatever. But the good thing about it is that it expands beyond whoever. Because sometimes businesses are born of God. A marriage is not whoever, it is a whatever. Anything you are involved in, childbirth is a whatever. Those children are not actually whoevers in that circumstances, you know. Under the circumstances, they are what? They are whatevers because they are something that you are doing. Though they are individuals, I understand, but they are an assignment that you are fulfilling for God. So they become what? Whatever. You know, ministry is not whoever. Ministry is what? Whatever. What am I emphasizing? A believer's business is a whatever. And whatever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. Now, I'm breaking an issue here. So you see that the economic problems is never the reason why a Christian's business does not do well. Forget what Forbes tells you. You can sit down. You know, I was talking to my wife yesterday. I gave her a word, you know, which I believe was the Holy Spirit sending me to tell her. It was a practical, it was something, but she answered me and I said, hey, baby, wait. Are you Are you arguing with me? Or you're asking questions? There's no reason why I told her like that. Because the point she was trying to bring out, they were very logical. And so I said to her, if you follow those points you are trying to bring out, you are going to shut down the operation of the Spirit. What I'm telling you is not counsel. You know, some of us don't know how to say, thus says the Lord. Do you understand my point? I can't give you details. Something we just were talking about in the house. You understand? So she paused. So I said, listen, I am not giving you logical things. I'm telling you that this is the word of God for you. Follow it and you will do well. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm making an issue here. If you want to follow logical sequence in life, you will be able to explain. You will see the physics of why Peter sank. Remember Peter? He was on water. And then Jesus said, come. Then he began to fear. Then he sank. He began to sink. And then the Lord went, rescued him. And what did Jesus say to him? Why did you doubt? Oh, you of little faith. Where is your faith? We're using many words now. Why did you doubt? That is, he was saying to him, your sinking is not because of your weight. Did you hear what I said? That Jesus said to Peter, your sinking has nothing to do with your weight. Your sinking has nothing to do with the fact that water normally sinks people. Because if we took the sinking of Peter to the laboratory, we don't even need to go to advanced laboratory. Ordinary secondary school lab will be able to explain it. It's surface tension of water. Weight, mass divided by this, what do you call it? Square surface area, that gives the pressure that is mounting, which is greater than the surface tension of water, so the man has to sink. And the more he sinks, the amount of water displaced, you understand, is proportional. But that is in the open ocean, so the height of water being displaced is inconsequential. Therefore, he continues to, the exponential is in the YDX begins to approach to zero. You know? And it will make sense. But when you finish, Jesus will say to Peter, let us go. Between me and you, why did you sink? You doubted. All those analyses may make sense to the common man, but for you, believer, the reason why you are sinking is not because the naira crashed against the dollar last week. So the reason why you will sink, let me put new words to it now, is simply because the presence of God exited your business. Therefore, children of God, whatever is born of God overcomes. If we want our whatever to overcome, what do we ensure? We ensure that the presence of God does not depart from our whatever. That is simple. I'm saying to you again, the reason why Christian businesses collapse is because they don't put effort into ensuring that God's presence never leaves them. I'll give you an example. You promise somebody, I'm going to sell you this thing for 15,000 naira. You give a deposit for 7,000 naira. But then you went back to the market, wholesale price has gone up to 20. When he comes back to collect his goods, he gave you a deposit of 7,000. You're supposed to give him for 15. 2 weeks later, he comes back with the balance, 8,000 naira. But you went to the market in the process and found out that your wholesale price is now 20,000. The normal human response is what? You renegotiate. You explain to him. He should try and understand. Most people just lie about it. Said, no, the one I thought I kept for you, I have sold it. Do you understand that? At the end of the day, let me make a long story short. You save money on that. You are going to lose minimum of 5,000 naira, right? Now, you have been very smart. You've saved how much? The 5,000. Praise God. At least you sold to the next guy for 22. You made your 2,000 naira. Thank God. You now had the 20,000 naira to go and restock. You almost lost that money. Thank God you did not. As a matter of fact, you did not lose that money. As a matter of fact, you lost the presence of God in that business. If you have this kind of insight, you have to choose. You will say to yourself, first, Oga, come, take, how much did I promise you? 15K. Where's my balance? Go. Hey, look at God. Say, dear Lord. And I'd be like, say, we shot 5K for that thing. Yeah, you look up to God and say, please, can you refund the money? I do that too. Though I don't sell things, but there are times I do things like that. If something happens on the road, and let's assume I'm going on the road now, you bash my car. And I look at the matter, I have to fix it, you run away, or I don't have time to be discussing with you. How much is it? I fixed it in for 25,000. Okay, when I reach house, I look, say, Baba God, this car now our own. I don't like this sudden loss of 25K. I'm not joking. A lot of times, over the next few days, somebody will dash me 25K. I say, good God, you have paid for the damaged car. Yeah, I do that. I'll just look and say, this is unnecessary loss. For what? 100,000 naira because this car ran into something. I said, dear Lord, I need my 100K back. I'm not going to fight too. You know, it's between me and God. Do you know my point? Now, sometimes, I think why he does that for me a number of times is that he knows that I'm not so, it's not the 100K that's my issue. It's more of, let me be sure that we have settled whatever be the problem. You know, I don't believe in divorce. How many, you understand what I'm saying? I don't believe in divorce. I say it's divorce. Divorce, if you come near my house, I divorce you. So divorce respect. Divorce respect. Divorce respect. If you believe in divorce, he will visit you. I don't believe in him. He doesn't come near my house. People I've heard all kinds of funny things that come from the mouth of Christians. After all, I paid my tithe. How come this thing still happened to me? If you have ever said that, hear you the word of the Lord. Three is about to happen to you. You say, Pastor Frank, what are you saying? Quickly, if you don't want it, as you are living here, say, God, you know, I said that thing to you like 6 years ago. I'm sorry. I won't say it again. I like to drop things like that to wake Christians up. If anything has ever happened to you, and you tell God, if I heard this one recently, why am I going into this now? Okay, my time is about to end. I normally minister people at the end, I remember. Okay, I'll finish my day. I heard this one recently. A lady, the child was sick. And I think the child died. And the man counseling them said that, the lady said, this should not be happening to me. Now, should that happen to anybody? No. So it's a good thing to say. But why did she say it? I have done everything right for you. Let me use some words. I've been a very good wife. I have paid my tithes regularly. I have given offerings to all the projects they have called in church. I've helped the poor. I've helped orphans. This should not happen to me. Please, if you ever said that, before the next child falls sick, better go and repent. Did you hear what I said? I don't know why I'm saying this now. Because last thing I was saying, it was about business, right? Okay, I'll get back to it. I don't even know why I got into this. But let me just quickly drop that for you. If you ever said that, please, quickly go back home and say sorry. Beg God, say, Lord, I'm sorry. There are those who applied for jobs. And they were so sure they would get it. Do you know why? The job they are doing right now, from where they are applying for this new higher one, they have never missed paying their tithes, prophet's offering, special seed, kingdom investment, first fruits, yes. They have never missed it. Sometimes, just in case, they added second fruit to it. Just in case. So they came to this business, what they call interview, be so sure that they are going to get this job. Number one, they do not get the job. They usually don't get it. They will not get it. The one that happened to one brother that wrote us a mail, he got fired from the former one. At the same time, I'm serious, he missed this new one and lost the former one. He was desperate, so he wrote a letter. It's very good for you. You can never have confidence before God based on what you have done for him. Never. You know, I've been saying this, that I pray people will believe me. Because it's the word of God. What should have been anybody's confidence? You walk in there and say, I have asked in the name of Jesus. And I know no good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. I thank him because I am not here because of my works. I'm here because of the grace that I have in Christ Jesus. I know my Father loves me and he delights in my prosperity. That will be your smile. Does it mean you're going to get that job? Maybe. Maybe not. That's not the only job in the world. So if you don't get that one, you smile again. Say something better is coming up. Because he always takes away the first so as to establish the second. And the glory of the latter house will always be better than that of the former. That is confidence in the word of God. Never in your flesh. Unfortunately, these days, we Christians, we preachers, we preach confidence in the flesh to Christians. We do. That woman that I was telling you about, that was her problem. So the man of God I was talking to, I warned her. I said, oh girl, stop this nonsense. This is the very reason why trouble, I'm adding my own words now, will not depart from your home. Because you keep on walking to the throne of God with confidence in your own works. Why did I get into this? Somebody here needs it. I need to say this one. God owes you only one thing in life. And that is the fulfillment of his promises. Let me say this to you again. God does not owe you any other thing apart from the fulfillment of his promises. What God is going around doing is fulfilling the word that he has spoken. He's not going around multiplying your seed. If you know what I'm trying to say. Even though there's a principle that's there that Christians misapply. And just let me just quickly drop it here. I feel like a few people have come here today. They've not heard this before. They need to be liberated. Get ready to be free. Because some people have, they spent 2014 sowing seeds for 2015. So 2015 is coming. They are waiting with baskets. Harvest go full. Get ready to be disappointed unless you change your strategy. Yes, 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 yes. Hear this, hear this. Get ready to be disappointed unless you change your strategy. This is your current strategy. I have sown seed. The whole of my 2014 January salary was a first fruit. I have been very faithful. I have tithed like a Pharisee. Mint and cumin, dill and cumin, every little thing I have tithed on it. Good. So you have paid the whole tithe for the whole year. You have given special seed. Now listen to me. And based upon that, your confidence is big. Oh, I forgot to mention, you go to a church where they say you must win a soul a week. And you have won your soul by force. Your neighbor that did not want to give his life to Christ, you gave it to Christ for him and then brought him to church. The whole year you have been good. Now listen to me. You are taking that confidence into 2015, expecting that harvest is coming to you next year. It's good you came here today because God wants you to know when you look at your account in heaven, it is as empty as can be. Nothing is coming down to you. He said, but if I sow, I will reap. It is true, but you haven't sown. He said, but I gave. That is true, but you have not sown because the seed is the word of God. That's why I said, what God wants to do for you is what? Fulfill his promises. Let me tell you the fellow who's going to receive the harvest in 2015. In 2014, he wakes up in the morning and faces heaven and begins to declare the word of God. And starts saying things like, I'm a child of grace. Jesus washed away my sins. Jesus washed away my past. He has removed every curse, every handwriting. He has removed it from me. And that fellow is storing up something in heaven. That is the seed. That's the word of God. It now says, I'm under a blessing. The blessing of Abraham is mine. Therefore, this earth will yield its increase for me. Every morning he wakes up and he's declaring it to the heavens. And say, listen, this is a commandment that brought me to life. He said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Say, I have been made in the image of God. I have been made in the image of Christ. Christ is being formed in me because the image of God is a condition for dominion. Therefore, I'm walking towards the perfect image of Christ and I'm walking towards dominion. Therefore, dominion is coming to me. Heaven has opened for me. I have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So does the person give? Yes. Why? I'm not afraid of 2015. So sufficient unto 2014 is what? The evil thereof. So when I have money, I give. I'm not packing it up for 2015. Because of that, I know that is my giving is a sign of my faith. It's not the condition for my receiving. It's just the sign of my faith. Listen to me. I'm talking to somebody. Except you do this, the kind of disappointment you will experience will almost make you want to backslide. And many Christians are backsliding because of it. Somebody came and promised them what God did not promise. Listen to me. The only thing God owes you is to fulfill his promises. He said, I'm watching over my word. To do what? To perform it. I'm not watching over your seed to multiply it. It is his word is watching over to perform. You can't give an offering to get healed. It does not work. And every time you watch television,
Send a seed in, and your sickness will go. Your sickness went on the cross of Calvary. Those who experience the release of divine power in healing are those who focus on that cross. Oh, my wife and I were listening to this guy today. What's his name? Novahez. Novahez preached a message. No, I read the man's book when I was in university, shortly after. I had never heard him preach. So I just saw his message on my computer in a collection that I have. I said, let me listen to this man. Oh, he was speaking so fluently. I said, my Father in heaven. So these are the very things that we preached a few months ago. He was explaining the meaning. He said, many people have not called upon the name of Jesus. That if you call upon the name of Jesus, you'll be saved. He said, I believe in God. He said, general faith does not get results. He said, you have to turn to Jesus and call him my healer. Hey! I said, we're talking about calling upon the name of the Lord. It's one of our missing messages here. He said, you have to turn to him and call him healer. He said, put the word my there. He said, God taught him how to get people who are about to die from serious sicknesses healed. And what was it? He said, it is simple. He said, they will turn to him, that name, and call it every time for 3 weeks. And turn to that sickness and curse the sickness daily for 3 weeks. Said they will get well. The man, oh God, that is, I tell you, this is, isn't that what we'll be saying? I said, thank God for the confirmation of his word. What am I saying? That is what heals people. That is what gets results. It is the word of God, not your own effort. So those who look at that cross and they are focused on it. Listen, forget all of this, chasing your enemies. I've been telling, whoever it is that came here today that's making me preach this message again, God bless you, you will get results in Jesus' name. Let me just continue preaching it. Because we have said this again and again here. We all know it. The amount of effort you use in just chasing your enemy, use it to approach your God, you will see results. You know, my wife was it yesterday or today? Just follow up to that Novahez message. She said something that we're talking, Sha. Something I said was interesting. Because of the word of God and all of that, you keep hearing it. Faith cross into your heart as the understanding of God is entering. You don't deliberately attempt to have faith. Carnegie said, faith is a concomitant of knowledge. That once knowledge enters, faith follows. So when you focus on the word of God, faith is built. Something happened the other day. My daughter was ill, and she has this, she used to have, I believe God, she's totally healed. She used to have this habit of reacting to things for longer. If everybody maybe calls for 2 days, she'll call for 3 weeks. It's the same cause, though, but the reaction will continue. So one of the things that, because of my training, I'm a doctor, so I know a lot of these things, and I know I have friends who are pediatricians. I know the drug they use to handle that. All right? I'm not prescribing medicine here, so I won't tell you the name. So doses I used to buy for my daughter, I just said to my wife, look, if I had this, I just buy. And it's quite expensive. Syrup, normal syrup is like how much for a bottle? Okay, most of you don't have children, you don't know. But jokes, how much is it? That's between 100 to 300 naira, most of them. Yeah, they're not expensive. This one is 2,000. Yeah, that's how expensive. It's not cheap. The bottle is bigger. It's like twice the normal size. But it's about 2,000 naira for a bottle. Now, the funny thing about the drug is this. Which is why I'm talking about it. Expect response in about 10 days. Yes. You should not see the effect for the first 10 days. And don't be discouraged. So this is when you start taking it today. You don't expect a good result for the first 1 week. Why it takes longer than that? Because of the way it works, let me not bore you with it, but there's a way it works. So it takes time to build up its effect. I don't know how it happened to me. I just said, I'm willing to wait for that for 10 days, right? So I told my daughter, if I wasn't at home, it was when we were in Kaduna that she thing started. So I told my wife, give her the phone. Put your hand on your throat. So I prayed for her over the phone. You understand? And then the next day, I will call her again, pray. In fact, I didn't tell the mom. I just told her, okay, so this is your medicine, okay? She said, all right. If I can't do it, tell your brother, that's the senior brother who's just a year older than her. He will pray for you. So now he's going to sleep. I said, okay, tell Benga to give you your night medicine. She said, okay. She wanted me, Benga, daddy said she should give me my night medicine. Then I will put a hand on her chest and say, in the name of Jesus Christ,
Father God, we thank you for your healing power. And you pray for her. And I say, okay, bring her as prayer. Okay, go and sleep. Next morning she will come. I say, okay, let's take your morning medicine. And I will lay hands on her again. After a few days, I say, we have to use this one. Let's use the other medicine now. I said, now we're just going to be using Thanksgiving. And of course, over the next few days, the whole symptoms disappeared. And I told my wife, I said, you see, we would have been willing to wait for one whole week, 10 days, 2 weeks for this expensive medicine to work. But if you pray like this, lay hands and not work, say it didn't work, go and buy the medicine. Are you getting my point? I just told my wife, I said, no, this one, I told my daughter, this one is your medicine. Father was there, I said, did you take a medicine this morning? She understood. If you are there, you will know what we're talking about. Did you take a medicine this morning? She said, no. I said, we have to use double dose then. So we prayed the first prayer. When we finished, it was another prayer. He said, because you didn't take the morning one, so this evening you have to take two. And we became used to it. So I said, have you taken your medicine? She said, no. I said, okay, on the way, tell your brother to give it to you. She said, yes. And she got me down and said, daddy said you give me my medicine. That one understands. You put your hand on the chest, pray for her. And Nobehe said, if he will do that, that God told him directly, you will always get healed. Why? Because it is the word of God. And that is what he's watching to perform. Let me say to you, use that method. You know, I've said this to you again and again. In this life, you will never be poor. Your season of fruitfulness, amen. This is what you will do. Command the earth to yield to you by the power of the word of God. What has been hindering the church is that we, the pastors, we have removed the power of grace from them. Why? The Christians don't know how to command according to God's word. They command according to their seed. And that always drives away grace. Yeah, there's no grace. There's no grace hardly. Oh God, later on we'll talk about this entering. Because later on I'm going to talk about, oh God, many things. Love, as an example. I'll talk about that one later. You'll find out that one of the reasons why Boko Haram is running churches over. Do you know the reason? I'll tell you the reason. Very simple reason. Just watch. Once I went to go and preach in Onitsha, the Anglicans had a program, a big program. Big program. One of their bishops started this some years ago. This is a program in which I was teaching one of the 12 classes, and my class had at least 200 people. And I was supposed to teach the same thing like twice. The reason is because those in my class today will not be in my class tomorrow. So they're telling me the history of the program. They now told me that if I look down the road, that when they started the program, they came with crusades and all of that, that the Catholic Church now started their own at the same period. Why? So that our people will not go there. People of God, that is the reason why Boko Haram runs them over. There's no other reason. When Jesus was praying for them further down, in fact, there's a passage I wanted to also read, but we didn't get there. Jesus explained something. He was talking about, he emphasized so much that they may be one, as you and I are one, that they will have love one for another. He kept on emphasizing it. Then when I read a few days ago, it struck me, bam, that this is why these people run the church over. One of the greatest things that disappear, you know, the way we say in Nigeria, that disappears the presence of God, is division in the body of Christ. Once they divide, God will carry him back. Say, Jesus, where are you there? Say, I'm there. Carry your bag. Holy Spirit, come. Leave two small angels for them. The rest of you go, come. They will. So Paul said, be careful that you don't devour one another. So they start devouring themselves. The enemies will now come, boom, wipe them out. And he said that when you don't bear fruit, he said you get taken out. That's what Jesus said. We'll develop this one next time. Whew, the Lord is good. Have been blessed today. All right, so let us end it here. But what I've just tried to explain today is this. Our fight is not who's going to hell, who's not going to hell. Our fight as Christians is in whose home, in whose life, will the presence of God dwell. So we now realize that every little thing. So now you can't say somebody, you are in the corner, your friends don't know you are going to pornographic websites. Doesn't matter, your eyes know. And God is looking through those eyes. So when he enters your body, looks through those eyes, boom, he's out. And decay comes into your system. You now start saying, my enemies are after me. God said, no, your enemies are not after you. You drove me away from your life by the kind of things that your eyes focus on. In fact, I like the way Kenneth Hagin said about that other young man. He didn't say he was chasing other women. He said he had eyes for other women. Ooh, no wonder Jesus said, if your eyes cause you to offend. I suddenly have this conviction that he didn't expect you to cut it out physically. Now listen to them. Listen. They expected you to realize that the only option is to cut it out. So better do every other thing so you don't have to cut it out. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. did you get the way I read it there? That what he was saying is that if it comes to cutting it out, you have to cut it out. But realize that that's where we are going. So fight it. Let me give you an answer. If somebody said that we are going to blind you if you don't stop looking at women's breasts. You know, and if you are sure it will happen, you know what you will do. When you are talking, I think you talk. You want to talk? You want to talk to me? You know, some things are just, that's what Jesus was saying. That's what Jesus was saying. That listen, so if you know that blindness is the consequence, oh boy, do what you have to do. Fight the fight you need to fight to ensure that you don't get blinded. Because if we don't blind you, the presence of God cannot dwell in your life. Because what happens every time those things enter into your system, you pollute the place. And this is how it is. Now listen to this. You are being prepared for somebody's dwelling place. There are people who are being prepared. You know all this noise of homosexuality they talk about in the world, and you see them pushing it. What that thing does is to build a dwelling place for Satan on the earth. Yeah, that's not a joke. I mean that literally. Iniquity builds a dwelling place for Satan on the earth. That's why Paul talked about the deeds of the flesh. Those deeds of the flesh is the cocoon that Satan requires. So he has to push people to do it. He has to evangelize. That's why we also preach. Because if we don't fill this earth, this nation, with the knowledge of God and raise up, you know, true Christians, sons of God, amongst the people of God. Listen, Satan is building his own people. They are committing fornication, adultery, all kinds of homosexuality, you know, defilement, you know, smoking of Indian hemp, use of cocaine, lying, cheating. As they are doing those things, they are building a nest for Satan on the earth. That is why violence, all those kind of things, suddenly they will increase, they will erupt. And I've told you before, if we don't pray the right prayers, the only thing God does is to send earthquakes and tsunamis and wipe everybody out. Therefore, listen, as you are living your life, you are concerned. Who am I building a resting place for? There are Christians that Satan is their friend. Satan is their friend. He comes to their house. Nowhere else to go. Say, where are you? Let's go and meet that guy who calls himself a Christian. They go and sit down there. Why? When he sits at home, what does he do? Hatred, anger, backbiting, literal by wishing people evil. Speaking evil against everything that is good. Every man of God, he must talk bad about them. Every church, he will speak negatively. Every good thing, he must talk non. So Satan said, good, I like that guy's house. The house is very comfortable. So you see, the children are always fighting themselves, injuring themselves, problem. He go to his office, there's problem. They will steal his money today. Everything is going wrong. Now say it's the economy. The simple problem is what? Satan lives there. So when he comes to Satan, will say, ah, honey, you don't come back. Satan, hey God. Look, my emphasis is, look, who are you building your house for? That's the question. He's not, I rebuke you. That's not what drives Satan out. You only rebuke temptation. Do you get what I'm saying? And temptation comes, you rebuke it. My wife was telling me a story somebody told her today that one woman will go to church and be seducing the pastor. When they say everybody come for prayer, she'll go and meet the man. Pastor. Say, this really happened though. I was not thinking. I said, how will I handle this situation though? I said, it's simple now. I tell my other kind of thing. I just said, Sister Claudia. I don't know who Claudia is. I'm just thinking. See me after the service. She wait outside. I said, hey, I just want to tell you that next time you talk to me, you will die. That is, maybe, I'm not saying anything. No. I'm not here to warn you and say, be careful yourself. No. I just want you to know, the next time you as much as say, good morning, sir, your heart will fail. Maybe you don't realize I'm a man of God. Try it. The next, as for information, of course you know, you will not come to this church again. If you see me in the market, go to the other side of the road. If in case you want to repent, go and repent in another church. It's my life I'm fighting for. That is how you rebuke it. Let's give the Lord thanks. The Lord is good. If you are blessed, you shout aloud, amen. Amen. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Let's just thank him. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Say, Lord, thank you. Lord, thank you because you desire to dwell in me. Lord, thank you because you love me so much, you desire to dwell inside me. You desire to dwell inside me. Say, Lord, thank you. Say, Lord, thank you.